Let's read together Leviticus chapter 19, verses 19 through 37. Now, in the second half of Leviticus chapter 19, we have 21 more laws dealing with various aspects of life. Remember, keeping these laws reflected the holiness of God in the life of the believer. Let's begin by reading verse 37, the last verse of the chapter. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. Let's begin our study of this second half of Leviticus 19 with some background notes. We saw in our talk on the first half of Leviticus chapter 19 that the central thought of this chapter, as well as for the whole book of Leviticus, is at the end of verse 2 of this chapter. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And now at the end of the chapter, we read, therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. In other words, this is how believers follow the Lord's command to be holy as he is holy. We obey the Lord, and that obedience reflects the holiness of God in our lives. For our two talks on this chapter, we have chosen to look at the 42 laws contained in this chapter under the 14 subsections that end with, I am the Lord, or I am the Lord your God. Now, in our last talk, we looked at 7 of these. Now, our doctrinal points will cover the last 7 of these subsections of laws in the second half of the chapter. So, doctrinal point number 1, believers reflect the holiness of God when they keep appropriate distinctions and separations. Verses 19 through 25. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. Whoever lies carnally with a woman who is betrothed to a man as a concubine, and who has not at all been redeemed or given her freedom, for this there shall be scourging or punishment, but they shall not be put to death because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, a ram as a trespass offering. The priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he has committed, and the sin which he has committed shall be forgiven him. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised or unclean. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten. But in the 4th year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord. And in the 5th year, you may eat its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I am the Lord your God. All of the laws in this subsection, in some way, relate to keeping separate or distinct what God has separated or made distinct in his order of creation. Now, we may not understand why God wanted this separation of verse 19 maintained, this matter of the cloth and the seed and so forth, but we do know that the surrounding foreign nations did not maintain many of these separations of the natural order. In fact, they mixed in their pagan ideas in doing so. For example, they purposely sowed their fields with 2 kinds of seed, supposedly male seed and female seed, in line with their pagan idea of the fertility of the earth. In verses 20 through 22, we see another improper mixture, the sexual relationship between a man and one of his slave girls. Just because she was his property did not give him the right to have sex with her. In fact, he had to face a penalty or punishment and bring a sacrifice for his sin. The woman, however, was not guilty, even if she did not cry out in line with Deuteronomy chapter 22, because she was a slave and not free. Now, as you read the commentaries, there are various interpretations of this law depending on what particular situations are envisioned. In verses 23 through 25, we have the distinction and separation of newly planted trees and established trees. No fruit was to be harvested in the first 3 years, when there would not be much fruit. The fourth year's crop was given to the Lord as the first fruits. And then from the fifth year on, when the crops were bigger, it was for the people. God's laws always benefited his people. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they keep appropriate distinctions and separations. Doctrinal point number two. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they stay away from pagan practices. Verses 26 and 27. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo marks on you. I am the Lord. All of the laws in this subsection have to do with keeping God's people away from pagan practices, as well as keeping his people protected and in line with boundaries which God had already defined. Eating anything before the blood was drained was already forbidden under the Noahic covenant in Genesis chapter 9. Abusing your God-given body with piercings and tattoos was also wrong because of pagan practices, and certain haircuts and beard cuts were wrong because of pagan practices. Now, the question always comes up about the application of these laws today for the Christian, now that we are no longer under the Mosaic covenant. Now, we'll return to this question under our practical application. But for now, remember that the Mosaic covenant contained moral laws, civil laws, and ceremonial laws. God's moral laws never change and are for the believer today. But the civil and ceremonial laws of the Mosaic covenant ended with Christ. We don't sacrifice lambs on altars today, but we do practice the moral laws of the Ten Commandments because they are repeated in the New Testament under the law of Christ. Only the keeping of the Sabbath, which was a civil and ceremonial law, is not given in the New Testament for the Christian. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they stay away from pagan practices. Doctrinal point number three. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they maintain pure worship of the Lord. Verses 29 and 30. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. The reason these laws are linked in this subsection is because of religious prostitution. The pagan foreign nations surrounding Israel had religious cult prostitutes connected with their temples. But Israel was to be different. They were to reverence the Lord's sanctuary and keep the Sabbath as evidence of their worship of the Lord. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they maintain pure worship of the Lord. Doctrinal point number four. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they don't dabble in the occult. Verse 31. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Familiar spirits in the Bible are not the spirits of people who have died. No. They are demons that are familiar with the person who has died. So spirit mediums, then and today, cannot contact departed loved ones, and dabbling in occult practices such as horoscopes or Ouija boards is wrong. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they don't dabble in the occult. Doctrinal point number five. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they honor older people. Verse 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord. Now back in verse 3, we saw that the Lord required the honoring of parents, as we have in the Ten Commandments. Here we see that the law required the honoring of the older generation by the younger generation. Remember, you younger folks here this evening who are listening to this talk, you will be the older generation someday. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they honor older people. Doctrinal point number six. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they provide for the outsiders. Verses 33 and 34. And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. There were to be no second-class citizens in Israel. They were to treat the alien as they did the native. God had allowed them to be strangers in Egypt so that they would know what it felt like to be aliens. When the Lord returns, this law will characterize restored Israel, when believing Palestinians will be given the same status as believing Hebrews. Read the end of Ezekiel chapter 47 in this connection. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they provide for the outsiders. And doctrinal point number seven, believers reflect the holiness of God when they keep ethical standards of conduct. You shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now remember that when these laws were given, it was before coins and before a central bureau of weights and measures, so it was very easy to cheat the poor and defenseless. As far as God was concerned, this was not only wrong, it was an abomination. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 10. Even today, it is easy to cheat and get away with it. Believers reflect the holiness of God when they keep ethical standards of conduct. And that brings us now to our practical application for the second half of Leviticus chapter 19. Don't throw the principle out with the precept. Don't throw the principle out with the precept. In Romans chapter 10, 4, we read that Christ is the end of the law. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, we read that Christ has set us free from the law. Now, does that mean that as Christians we throw out all the laws of the Old Testament? No, a resounding no. We already explained that God's moral laws never change. And even the civil and ceremonial laws have moral principles involved. For example, while the Sabbath laws were civil and ceremonial, there certainly were moral principles involved. As Christians, living in the light of New Testament revelation to the church, we don't believe we are under obligation to keep the Sabbath by bringing the Sabbath day animal sacrifices to the Lord as demanded under the law in Numbers chapter 28, for example. But we do believe and still practice the moral principle of putting God first in the matter of our time schedules. This is an essential principle to our worship of the Lord. So don't throw the principle out with the precept.